This is TWiT.
New Yorker magazine published what I would now consider the definitive profile, absent some great book coming out, on Johnny Ive this week.
That and was a book.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, it's a New Yorker article.
A novella.
Oh, my goodness.
You recommend it? Well worth reading, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Johnny Ive and the Future of Apple, the Shape of Things to Come. We learn such things as Johnny and Mark Newsom, his design buddy, hate the way American cars look. That's why they drive. Johnny drives a Bentley. He said, what am I fighting it for? Of course, we should point out the Bentley's owned by Volkswagen, but that's okay. What am I fighting this for? What is it? I forgot. Mark Newsom drives a Rolls. I can't remember now.
They all drive all the British cars, Leo.
They all drive all the British cars. I was interested to see that Lorraine Powell Jobs, Steve's widow, was at, for instance, the Apple Watch announcement, very much still involved, as was their son, Reed, who's 23 now. One morning in September, I was talking with a few friends, including, Chris Martin of Coldplay and Stephen Fry, the British actor and writer, in a courtyard beside a community college hall a few miles from Apple's headquarters in Cupertino. This, of course, is the Flint Center announcement of the iPhone 6. Apparently, Johnny Ive, there was a Playmobil figure made of him by his design colleagues, and he has that on his lock screen of his phone. We're learning much about Johnny Ive we never knew before. He owns the 20-seat Gulfstream G5 that Steve Jobs used to own. Lorraine sold it to Johnny in 2011 after Jobs' death. He calls Puff Daddy Snoop Shawnee Sean for reasons no one really understands.
That's how inside he is. He has access to Puff Daddy's next name before anybody else has it.
Sean Combs, the rapper. What did we learn about Steve Jobs? Why don't you? I'm sorry, Johnny Ives. Why don't you guys summarize? Andy, why don't you kick things off? What did you find interesting in this article? It's quite a long article.
I found it interesting that apparently J.J. Abrams consulted with him on the design of the new lightsabers for the new Star Wars movies
over drinks.
They're buddies.
Yeah.
They're buddies.
That to me is like 10 times cooler than like designing a watch or designing a car. It's like, no, if you get to have a say in anything, any key prop in the Star Wars universe, okay, you get 5 free passes, and 2 of them can include murders if you want.
How about you? What was your what's a salient tidbit from this Rene Ritchie?
I liked a lot of it. I liked a lot of the little details. I had to read it 2 or 3 times to pick them up, but it was amazing the level of detail they went into, like including things like the iPhone 4 prototype that was larger that they've never really talked about before. Because like, you know, Apple did test larger phones, but they didn't like them as products. They didn't go ahead with them. And he talks about that a little bit. They name a lot of names, which is unusual for them. They talk about the process that goes on inside Infinite Loop 2, which they haven't really talked about before.
They play what their office manager calls Euro douche pop during design sessions in the design center, apparently. Yeah,
I mean, they walk in
Rapture.
And the guy has people machine for him these little geometric patterns, and he either uses them for a coffee coaster or for a new speaker design. I mean, it just depends on how they work out.
It must be kind of Oz in there, I tell you. Did you read the article, Alex, yet?
I did. I think all I was left was I really want to work in that design facility. You know, 3,000 square feet of fun. You know, it's like CNC mills and figuring out like it sounds like it's a pretty. I mean, what I was left with is the designers that are there are high pressured only because they're really worried about what they do. You know, they're full of internal designer angst. But there's a lot of things that they're just fiddling with and trying to figure out and you know, willing to go, you know, do 1,000 iterations of stuff. And they have all the tools, you know, it's just an interesting, position to be in, to be the design group for, this company, you know, that is based on design and you'd think that they even have, I guess I felt like it would be bigger, a factory or something.
Yeah, 3,000 square feet's not that big, is it?
It's not,
considering it's filled with milling machines. Right. I've said, hey, we make things. That's what we do. And we want the machine. We don't want to have to send it out to the shop. We want to make them right here. And so they said to the degree that the noise and the pollution would allow, they've included them.
Wasn't it amazing how much Johnny Ive is involved in? Like, he was involved with the direction of the commercial, with the Apple Store remake, with the watch, with the rebuilding of the campus. Like, there's list after list of major, ginormous projects at Apple, and he was there for every one of them.
Yeah, it became pretty clear that he's been Apple's number two guy for many, many years, since Steve came back, really.
On top of everything else, you would think that it's that a company of Apple's size and the importance of the stuff they're doing, that they would have more of a design department, a design building, but it really just seems like here is a group of people that communicate with each other very, very well. There is a very much a group brain sort of thing. And although Johnny Ive is certainly the spearhead of that department, you get the impression that every idea is the residue of multiple points of view. The people who just talk very, very open in a very clubby environment. At least that's the impression that you get from this profile.
They talk about the work tables, which inspired the Apple Store tables, although they're a little bit higher than that. Apparently, I've spent a lot of time thinking about the height, a lot of studies. Each table has one product category, one product on it, or a product part or a product concept. They quote designer there, a former Lamborghini designer, Hoenig, that's saying a table can get crowded with a lot of different ideas, maybe problem solving for one particular feature. Then one day, all the clutter is gone and the winner is left.
Much like ourselves.
Just like this.
You almost feel scared for the other products on that table. Is it going to be like a Pixar movie about like the objects on that table, what they do at night, worrying about, I don't know, he was looking at me, he had that look on his face.
The author of
my peace with God.
The author of the profile, Ian Parker, actually was invited into got a rare invitation into the product design studio before the watch was announced. So there were some tables covered with sheets of gray silk. And Parker writes, I knew only that the future would be no taller than an electric kettle. And that we now know what was under those sheets. He said the cloth covering the table nearest the door was curiously flat. This is actually complicated, Ive said, feeling through the material. This will make sense later. I'm not messing with you at all, I promise. It's really a great read.